Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, the public's confidence in COVID-19 vaccines is improving as the rollout progresses. That's according to latest findings from an Ipsos MRBI survey. However, it also finds that vaccine hesitancy is highest among young people aged 25 to 34, with young people and new mothers being targeted. Local authorities are being advised to apply quickly for funding to update outdoor infrastructure. The measure was announced by Minister Eamon Ryan this afternoon. The government will announce what further restrictions will ease in May at the end of this week. Today, a number of Level 5 measures relaxed, including the opening of outdoor attractions. Well, she'll see you later on with the sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. Well, the public's confidence in COVID-19 vaccines is improving as the rollout progresses. That's according to latest findings from an Ipsos MRBI survey that found vaccine hesitancy has fallen 8% since January. Bernard Malley from the Irish Pharmaceutical Healthcare Association says the pandemic has made people more aware of medical advancements.
Because of COVID, everyone knows what a vaccine does, why it's safe and what it's for. And everyone knows now, you know, you have companies like Pfizer and AstraZeneca and Johnson & Johnson and Moderna have become household names, you know, and that's a good thing because people, I think, will have a renewed appreciation of the vital importance of innovation in medicines.
Well, the survey finds that vaccine hesitancy is highest among people aged 25 to 34, with sophisticated anti-vaccine campaigns targeting young people and new mothers, according to a media literacy expert. The co-chair of Media Literacy Ireland, Dr. Eileen Cullity, says young women are particularly vulnerable to anti-vax campaigns.
They specifically target younger adults and mothers in particular because their big focus is on the childhood immunization vaccines. And even before COVID happened, we were already seeing increases in measles, measles outbreaks, and a decline in people taking up the childhood vaccinations. So that's their big focus, and that's why they target young women in particular.
Local authorities are being advised to apply quickly for funding to update outdoor infrastructure. The Transport Minister announced an additional €15 million to improve outdoor spaces in villages, towns and cities across the country. Pedestrianisation, traffic management and the reallocation of road and street space are among the projects eligible for funding. Minister Eamon Ryan says the government wants more options for people to meet outdoors.
People already can see in some places you have very large numbers congregating very close together. We don't want to see that. By having a large number of spaces which are managed in a proper way, dispersing crowds, I think that's what will work best, so that no one area gets the brunt of either the litter or the other problems.
Well, the government will announce what further restrictions will ease in May. At the end of this week, a number of Level 5 measures relaxed further today, including the reopening of outdoor attractions such as Dublin Zoo. Outdoor sports like golf and tennis have also resumed today, while outdoor underage training is back in pods of 15. These people have been enjoying the day at the Irish National Stud and Gardens in County Kildare.
Yeah, it's great. Like, the weather is brilliant, so it's, yeah, really good to get out with the little ones and give them some fresh air and run around.
We'll all still be very careful. We still have our masks. We're still going to be observing the various etiquettes in terms of health and hygiene. But even to get children out of the house, it's just marvellous.
It's just fantastic, especially with the weather being so good. You just have to make the most of it while it's there.
Concerns have been raised over the impact the reopening of Northern Ireland ahead of the Republic may have on businesses in Donegal. Outdoor hospitality will reopen north of the border on Friday. Close contact services such as hairdressers and barbers reopened on Friday last. In his own, Councillor Nicholas Crossan raised the issue with Health Minister Stephen Donnelly and called on him to make concessions for Donegal to help mitigate the fallout. However, he told Greg Hughes on today's 9 till noon show he wasn't particularly happy with the response.
Businesses have been in lockdown for over a year now. About a month back, I seen this coming down the track, and I personally wrote to Minister Stephen Donnelly asking for Inishowen and Donegal to be made to give certain concessions for this area because of our connecting borders, and that fell on deaf ears, unfortunately. Now we're left with a situation that Northern Ireland is partially open today and probably will be near enough fully open next week. And that's going to be hugely detrimental to the businesses in the Donegal and certainly in the border areas. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very unfair. 25% of the Republic of Ireland has been vaccinated. That's 50% of Northern Ireland. And our numbers, we should follow the numbers. The numbers show that. But the national average in Northern Ireland is 39 per 100,000. The average in Derry is 103. The Republic of Ireland average is 117. And Donegal is 251 and higher than on the shore. So it's common sense that we need a special category for this area to help. The last thing we want is another spike in business and having to close again, Greg. And I'm sure that the business owners will come rolling behind me in that.
That was Councillor Nicholas Crossan there. The government has promised aid to India, which is in the midst of a COVID crisis that could see 500,000 cases a day there within the next 3 weeks. Around 700 items of much-needed medical equipment are to be sent to India for the Republic as quickly as possible. Well, here, Mumbai native now living in Letterkenny says intervention from across the world is necessary, with hospitals in India overwhelmed by COVID-19 patients and a drastic shortage of oxygen. Sharmila Kamat says the situation has international ramifications.
You see, the numbers they are saying is going to go up. Like, it's 350,000 today. It's going to go up to 500,000 till middle of May. That is what they are saying, you know. But we have to be very careful, because India's situation could just impact nearby countries, and the virus has no borders, so it could just travel. So we all have to be helping. The whole world needs to act and help. You know, I know. Like, locally, I know a lot of my Irish friends have reached out to us to say, what is it that we can do to help? And I really don't have an answer. I'm in touch with the Indian ambassador in Dublin to see what we can do as a community to help. I mean, I know of a person who is living in India in a village, and he was in touch with me even this morning, and he was saying that it has reached every village, every small place, and he thinks the reason is probably the people are not really following the rules. They're not socially distancing, not wearing masks, and there is a hesitancy about taking the vaccine. These are the main three causes, is what he was telling me.
And that was Shamila there speaking to us on the 9 to noon show today. 73 more cases of COVID-19 were confirmed north of the border this afternoon, with one additional death reported. 61 patients being treated in hospital for the disease in Northern Ireland, 5 of them in ICU. Last night there were 15 COVID patients being treated at Letterkenny University Hospital, one of them in intensive care. The number of domestic trips by Irish residents was down almost a fifth in the second half of last year compared to 2019. 5.3 million trips were made in the third and fourth quarters last year. CSO figures show over €1.1 billion was spent on those trips in the same period. Hotel stays were down almost a third. Trips to self-catering and rented homes were up by a quarter. Other news, and the Mica Redress Scheme has reached a significant milestone in Donegal, with the first three homeowners cleared to begin demolishing and rebuilding their homes. Councillor Martin McDermott is chair of Donegal County Council's Mica Redress Committee.
It's a big day for the scheme. It's a big day for the county to be where we are. This has been going on now for 10 years, and this is the first time now that homes have been given the green light to start work and got their confirmation of their money being allocated to the houses. So it's a very, very important milestone. There's a number of other houses that will be getting the go-ahead later on this week, over the next few days, and that will bring it probably up to about 9 that will be completely over the scheme and ready to start work. There are still elements of the scheme that we have to work on over the next while to try to streamline some of the problems that we're having at the moment.
As you say, there are issues with this scheme, but for those homeowners whose application has now been passed, this has been a long journey to this stage for them.
It has been an exceptionally long journey for those people. I mean, they've been fighting this now since 2010. And this is April 2021. It's 11 years now since some of these families have started fighting this cause and their homes crumbling around them. And all that they had to live with during that period of time, the stress, the anxiety of the whole thing. And you know, look, it's a great day for them as well that they can finally, you know, start work, start building a new house and start their life again and start their new life again in their new home. And, you know, and that has to be welcomed as well. But as I say, there are plenty of other works to be done to streamline how things work over the next while and to make sure that applications are coming onto the council and coming out of the council on a timeline that's acceptable for both the council and for the homeowner. And that's something that I think will happen over the next few weeks. And I think that the scheme will start moving on a lot quicker. The other elements of the scheme that we have to deal with in the department, I think that will be discussed over the next couple of weeks as well. And hopefully we can get some outcome of that in the near future.
Now that was Councillor Martin McDermott there. Well, concerns about the fairness of the scheme remain with repeated calls for measures to help affected homeowners meet the 10% contribution cost. MICA Action Group PRO Michael Doherty says the reality is many people are expected to pay much more than 10%.
The scheme is set up in a way that it certainly protects the government a hell of a lot more than what it protects the homeowner here. It was called a 90-10 scheme and we very reluctantly signed up to that because what we were promised all along was parity with pyrite, a zero cost to the homeowner, and then we were told to expect 10% and we were lucky to get that because it was 20% was actually being talked about. But when we break it down and we look at the devil in the detail, we found out that we're really nowhere near the 10% at all. You know, with the first 43 houses that have gone through the council now for demolish and rebuild, these are actual numbers. We've got every size for the 43 houses. The data so far coming back in is that the 43 families are going to have to find 3.9 million euro between them to afford the scheme. That averages out as somewhere around just over 100,000 per family. This is where the difficulty lies, because while it's great to get our first three houses going, you know, we have three families tonight worried about how they're going to make this happen. They've got approval in place. Do they have their finances in place? That's another question. You know, it's great that we have the three over the line, but the bottom line is if they are even in a position to go make that happen now, what cost financially?
Michael Doherty there of the MICA Action Group. It was a busy day yesterday for rescue services in the Lough Swilly area. Lough Swilly Lifeboat attended a number of call-outs, while the fire service attended a gorse fire in the vicinity of Ned's Point yesterday evening. Lough Swilly RNI's PRO is Joe Joyce.
Yesterday afternoon, we had a call from the Marine Rescue Centre at Malinhead. There were some walkers in the Urris Hills, and they spotted a way out and see there an object flashing. We launched and we went out and we checked that out. It turned out to be a large helium balloon, a silver one that was reflecting, so we got that checked out, so we were back at base again. A couple of hours later, we got another call. This time there was a man injured at the cliffs at Leenan, the back of Leenan. As we got down there, the man had recovered himself and managed to get back up the cliffs again and into the care of the HSE. We did assist there at the pier. En route to that, our second lifeboat was diverted then to Innistrahull. There was a report of a boat aground at the back of Innistrahull and a man missing. Subsequently turned out that the man was located ashore. The boat had went up on Saturday. A bit of a gorse fire out there then around Ned's Point, so the fire brigade were very active out there. So all in all, quite a busy weekend for us.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by michaelmurphysports.ie. Shop 24/7 with nationwide next day delivery.
5:15, we say good evening to Washington Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. We start with cross-channel soccer. Leicester can edge significantly closer to a return to the Champions League tonight. Brendan Rodgers' side host Crystal Palace at 8 o'clock. A one would move them 7 points clear of fifth place West Ham in the Premier League's European places. Having seen his side fade out of the top four contention last season, Rodgers is confident it won't happen again.
A lot of the players, if you think last year, never had the experience of being consistently up there. So there's great learning took place. But I think we've evolved over the course of the season. Yeah, definitely a different feel this season, but it doesn't make it any easier.
Julian Nagelsmann is poised to become the new head coach at Bayern Munich. The current RB Leipzig boss will assume the role left vacant by the impending departure of Hansi Flick. Nagelsmann, who was linked with the vacant job at Tottenham Hotspur in recent weeks, has spent the last two seasons at Leipzig, leading them to last year's Champions League semi-finals. Manchester United defender Eric Bailly has committed himself to the club for another 3 years. The Ivory Coast international has signed a new contract that will see him remain at Old Trafford until at least 2024. He returned to training last week following a period of self-isolation after contracting COVID while on international duty. Spotify's founder, together with three Arsenal legends, are reportedly planning a bid for the club. Swedish billionaire Daniel Ek understood to have teamed up with Thierry Henry, Dennis Bergkamp and Patrick Vieira. Fans have protested for owner Stan Kroenke to go following his involvement in the failed European Super League. Former Arsenal striker Kevin Campbell says he can see it happening.
The backlash has been heavy, but at the moment they've come out and they've hardened their stance and said no, they're not going to sell. So it's a really difficult situation, but one that I don't think is going to get off the ground.
The 2021-22 Irish Premiership season will start on Saturday the 28th of August. The Northern Ireland Football League have confirmed the date's been agreed by all 12 clubs. The Irish Premiership campaign usually gets underway in early August, but the current schedule has been disrupted by the COVID-19 restrictions, leaving a slightly late start. Following relegation last year, Institute will begin their championship season a few weeks earlier on Saturday the 8th of August. It's been a long road for Sean Connor's side, as Stoot have not played a match since March 2020. Mark Allen has to win seven frames tonight if he's to make the quarterfinals of the World Snooker Championships. The County Antrim man goes in this evening's session 9-6 down to Mark Selby. Judd Trump has progressed to the quarterfinals, courtesy of a 13-8 win over David Gilbert. He'll play the winner of tonight's meeting of Sean Murphy and Yang Benito. Murphy resumes 10-6 up, needing just three more frames for the win. Earlier, 2015 champion Stuart Bingham set up a quarterfinal date with Anthony McGill by completing a 13-6 victory. And Rugby Ulster have suffered a blow ahead of Friday's Challenge Cup semi-final with Leicester Tigers. Prop Jack McGrath underwent hip surgery last week and he is now facing a spell on the sidelines. While in motorsport, County Derry's Josh McAuley was third on his American Rally Association debut at the weekend, which was the Olympus Rally in Washington. The 21-year-old took top spot in the R5 class and secured a career-best stage time on his first outing as a Hyundai Motorsport Junior driver. American Trevor Pastrana was the winner, with Ken Block finishing in second. That's your sport for today, Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Oisin. The BSNI has arrested two men in connection with their investigation into the attempted murder of a female member of police staff, who is also a part-time police officer. A viable device was discovered beside the young woman's car in Ballyquin Road, Dungiven, on Monday, April 19th. That's a week ago today. A 47-year-old man was detained in the Dungiven area. A 48-year-old man who was arrested in the Feeney area. Both are being questioned in the Musgrave Serious Crime Suite. A man in his 30s has died following a car crash in West Galway. It happened at around 7 this morning. The car in which the man was travelling hit a wall in Carna Village. He was pronounced dead at the scene. His body has been taken to Galway University Hospital for a post-mortem examination. Tenders are currently being sought for a heritage-led regeneration project in Rathmullen. Donegal County Council, in partnership with Rathmullen The Way Forward, are seeking an experienced architect-led design team. With more detail, here's Michaela Clark.
The project aims to strengthen and enhance the physical, cultural, social, tourism and economic capacity of Rathmullen and to act as a catalyst for increased activity. It will be rooted in the principles of heritage restoration, town centre renewal and rural regeneration in transforming landmark and underutilised assets at the historic core of the town. Specifically, the project will focus on the Gun Battery and Rathmullen Abbey, both protected structures. The renewal and repurposing of the Gun Battery and attendant lands to serve and function as a new village square, Battery Place and Museum of Atlantic Culture and Heritage will be developed as an iconic and landmark centrepiece. The project will also seek to explore sensitive interventions to the Abbey to achieve further restoration and long-term preservation. It is intended to celebrate these assets as heritage bookends to a refined heritage-led public realm. The project will also include the development of a community hub. The closing date for tenders is May the 17th.
The Border Region has the highest poverty rate in the country. Latest figures from Poverty Focus 2021 show the Border Region had a poverty rate of 22.4%. That's against the national average of around 10%. Nationally, more than 15% of those living in poverty in Ireland have a job, while more than a quarter are children. Poverty rates fell in 2016 because of social welfare increases in recent budgets. However, Dr. Sean Healy, the CEO of Social Justice Ireland, says when the social welfare increases stop, so does the decrease in poverty.
key to reducing poverty numbers in Ireland, and this is shown by endless studies, is to increase social welfare rates. And if we don't increase them, then we have a problem. In the last two budgets, that was the last budget when Leo Varadkar was Taoiseach, and the first budget when Micheál Martin was Taoiseach, they did not increase core social welfare rates by a cent.
The World Atlantic Way has been named as one of the world's most beautiful road trips. Research carried out by Pentagon Motor Group has revealed the World Atlantic Way to be the eighth most beautiful road trip in the world. The research involved analysing over 7 million Instagram hashtags associated with the world's most popular road trip destinations, calculating how many Instagram pictures are shared per mile of the journey. The World Atlantic Way placed above Route 66 in the survey. And the families of the Stardust victims are accusing the government of putting them through undue distress in their bid for a fresh inquest. A number of campaigners held a protest outside Leinster House earlier, calling on the Department of Justice to approve legal aid for families who are currently ineligible. They say without funding, inquests into the 1981 nightclub fire in Artane in Dublin can't go ahead. Public Health Minister Frank Fian says the matter of legal aid is being looked at and families should have an answer shortly. Antoinette Keegan, who lost two of her sisters in the tragedy, says many families simply can't afford the legal costs.
8.2 million was set aside from the budget for the inquest. And all the other legal teams that are involved in this have all gotten their legal funding. But the families of the deceased victims have to apply for legal aid. Like, we're the injured party in this, and so we're getting treated like, you know, like we have to prove ourselves, right, that we're eligible for it. And a lot of the families are not eligible for it.
Weather forecast: sunny spells through this evening with some patchy light rain or drizzle at times. That rain or drizzle will intensify into this evening and tonight, with showers following from the northwest. Lowest overnight temperatures 4 to 6 degrees Celsius with light to moderate west to northwest breezes. Tomorrow, Tuesday, it'll be cold with sunshine and showers, some of them heavy and possibly of hail. Highest temperatures tomorrow 10 to 12 degrees Celsius in moderate north to northwest breezes. And that's Highland Radio News for now. Main stories in brief. The public's confidence in COVID-19 vaccines is improving as the rollout progresses. That's according to a survey published today. Local authorities are being advised to apply quickly for funding to update outdoor infrastructure. Transport Minister Eamon Ryan announced the funding earlier today. The government will announce what further restrictions will ease in May at the end of this week. The government is promising aid to India, which is in the midst of a COVID crisis, which could see 500,000 cases a day there within the next 3 weeks. 73 more cases of COVID-19 confirmed north of the border today. 61 patients in hospital. Last night, 15 COVID patients at Letterkenny University Hospital, one of them in intensive care. And the microgrid rest scheme reaches a significant milestone in Donegal. The first three homeowners have cleared the hurdles and are allowed to demolish and rebuild their homes. We're back with headlines at 6. Good evening. The eviction notices for this Monday evening, the 26th of April. The death has taken place of Patrick Harkin, Maharard Mallon. His remains are reposing at his late residence. Funeral from there on Wednesday morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Ahutlay, Mallon, followed by burial in the adjoining graveyard. The wake, funeral and interment are strictly private, please. The death has taken place of Teresa Harkin, Pier Road, Rathmullen. Her remains are reposing at Eternal Light Chapel of Rest, Mountain Top, Letterkenny. Removal from there this evening, going to St Joseph's Church, Rathmullen, arriving at 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Funeral Mass tomorrow morning at 11, followed by cremation at Lakelands Crematorium in Cavan at 4:30. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and cremation are private, to family only, please. The death has occurred of Liam Coyle, 9 Binion Avenue, Letterkenny. Liam's remains are reposing at his home. Funeral from there tomorrow morning to St Eunan's Cathedral for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock with interment afterwards in Conwall Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to Friends of Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake, funeral and interment are private, to family only, please. Liam's Requiem Mass will be live streamed on the St Eunan's Cathedral website. The death has occurred of Nell Lavelle, Tuaconnell House, Ballyliffin. Her remains are reposing at her nephew Podge and Mary Sweeney's residence at Cloarna, Ballyliffin. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 20 past 10, travelling via the Ballyliffin Golf Club and onto St Mary's Church, Clonmany, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSE and government guidelines, the wake funeral and burial are private to family and friends only, please, with a maximum of 25 people permitted. Nell's funeral mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Clonmany. The death has occurred of Patricia Malloy, 32, Ardcullum Kill, Letterkenny. Patricia's remains are reposing at her home. Funeral from there tomorrow afternoon to St Eunan's Cathedral for Requiem Mass at 2 o'clock, with interment afterwards in the family plot in Conwall Cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations if desired to ICU, Letterkenny University Hospital, care of Pascal Blake, funeral director. Patricia's Requiem Mass will be live streamed on the St Eunan's Cathedral website. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake funeral and interment are private to family only, please. And the death has occurred of Mary Hugo Ward, Belcritch, Kincashla. Her remains are reposing at her daughter Mary Martin's house in Belcritch. House private to family only, please. Funeral mass tomorrow morning at 11 in St Mary's Church, Kincashla, with interment afterwards in Critch Cemetery. In accordance with HSE and government guidelines, the wake funeral and burial are private to family only, please.